Aren't you glad Jesus did it for you? Come on, church. I said, aren't you glad Jesus did it for you? You know, you can have a somber celebration. That's fine. But we're here to celebrate with the good news of what he's done. How many in this place love Jesus? Yeah, he's worthy. Here we go, my brother. I'll give that to you. I'm going to do something by surprise. She didn't know we were going to do it. I told her, peace, if you don't want to do it, but I guess I'm removing that. Pastor Kerry, would you come and greet our congregation? We love you so much, and we welcome you. Good to have you here. Woman of God extraordinaire. You know, I will tell you, I have a few favorite preachers in life and teachers. And you probably know without shame and apology on my part that my wife, Sherry, Pastor Sherry, is my favorite preacher. And her son-in-law, my friend Pastor Phil, is another one of my favorite preachers. But I will tell you, at her own embarrassment, another one of my top tier right up there, and I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating. If I didn't believe this, I just wouldn't say anything. But it's Pastor Kerry. So we welcome you, Pastor Kerry Dan.
I do have a scripture to share with you today. It's 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, and it says, every scripture has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. And I love that. You know, that's why we come to church. We come to church to learn the Word of God. And then we learn the Word of God. It comes into us. It changes our hearts. And then we're prepared to do every work that He asks us to do.
That's good.
And I know that this is a congregation that's excited to continue to learn, to continue to grow, and to do every work that the Lord has before you. So we're just delighted to be here. Greetings from Pullman, Washington, and from Living Faith Fellowship there. We are so excited to see this church growing and thriving and learning to do that work that God's called us to do.
Amen. 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 Thank you. We have a real privilege here this morning. It's a real joy to be able to introduce my very, very close and great friend for decades now. And one of my favorite things, I think I've shared with you before, one of my favorite things, I was in Pullman for 30 years. One of the highlights of my time there, all 30 years, was the privilege, if I had even a small part to play in helping to mentor this man of God. And you know what's a delight is when you're in a relay race and it's a team race, you pass the baton and you have the joy of seeing the runner just run right past you and go for it. That's what this man of God has done. And it is an honor and a joy to be able to bring to Grace Christian Center my very close friend, Pastor Phil Vance, Senior Pastor of Living Faith Fellowship. We welcome you, buddy.
Pastor Kev, can you get me going here?
You bet. Water here for you too, buddy. Okay. I didn't drink from it, just so you know.
Oh. As long as you didn't spit back into it.
Am I good?
That should do it, right?
Are we there?
Hey. Is he on? Oh, hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. It was decades. Yeah, 40 some years we've known each other. That's definitely quite a long time. Mentored. I don't think it was a small part. I think it was quite a large part in my life. And I am forever grateful for the investment from Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sherry in my life. We pastor a church, as you know, in Pullman, Washington, so a college community. We have hundreds of college students there and community people as well. But we love Jesus, and we are trying to reach a generation that doesn't know much about Jesus right now. It's amazing the times that we live in, because we used to, years and years ago, they'd come and they'd know about Jesus or know stories. Now they don't even know who he is. Or what they believe about anything in the Bible is whatever movie they saw on Netflix. And it's a very difficult time of ministry, but we enjoy seeing the lights come on in these college students' life and all of a sudden breaking before the Lord, crying and weeping, and asking Jesus Christ to come into their life, and then seeing their lives become radically changed. I tell our students that the very first message that I'll preach of the year, which will be in a couple of weeks here when our college students are coming back, I'll say, give me one year. Just give me 1 year of your life. You invest in this church, invest in your walk with the Lord, and I will guarantee you at the end of this year, you will not believe how much you have grown in the Lord. And I have it happen to me every year. I had a guy just recently, he said, you know, Pastor Phil, when you said that at the first of the year, I really didn't believe you. But I didn't realize it kind of snuck up on me. At the end of the year, I realized, my gosh, my life has been so transformed. Because he changes us a little bit at a time. Inch by inch, right? He's changing us and he's moving on us. Well, anyway, we do bring greetings from Pullman, Washington. We're excited about the startup of everything again. It gets really crazy in these next couple of weeks, and we absolutely love it. We relish the opportunity of reaching out to all the people the Lord bring. I think it's an interesting thing here, because I got to prepare this message here in this beautiful scenery and looking out over the sound, and my gosh, I thought, you know, I don't think it's fair, because you guys actually have a sneak preview of heaven before the rest of us do. And I don't think it's fair that you guys are actually viewing heaven before the rest of us get a chance to do it, but I'll tell you what, it's absolutely beautiful here, and you guys live in a beautiful community, and the church community is beautiful as well, and I just love seeing you all here and relating together and loving the Lord together and growing in the Lord. It's absolutely incredible. I do want to brag on your pastors also too, that as Pastor Kevin said, I'm the secretary of the Fellowship Network, and Pastor Kevin is a VP of this particular region, and I have to say that I don't know I've seen a VP in any of our regions work as hard as Pastor Kevin has on reaching out for new members, new people, loving and helping and supporting and encouraging, as they do immensely. They're absolutely incredible. But you should give your pastors a great hand, because they do an amazing, amazing job. And I know that the leadership of our network talks about them and the beauty of what he does. And it's absolutely incredible. You are very, very, very blessed. Well, you know it. Yes, that's good. That's good. And you should tell them often. You know, when Pastor Kevin asked me to preach, he said, I didn't feel like I was supposed to pull something from somewhere and preach something I've already preached before. And I felt like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And he just gave me one word. And everything built from that one word. And I didn't even know what it meant. I was brushing my teeth and I go, Lord, what am I supposed to speak on? This was weeks before. And he just gave me one word. And that word was reach. R-E-A-C-H. And I go, reach what? Reach what? What does the word reach mean? And then he gave me this scripture in Exodus 4, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read it to you here. This is Moses at the burning bush. He's at the burning bush. He sees this bush burning, and he comes up to it, and he takes his shoes off, because this is holy ground. And God Almighty begins to speak to him. And he's hearing the voice of God, and he says all of this stuff. And you know the rest of the story. There's so many things he's talking to him. But it came to this point, and I thought it was very interesting. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose... He's talking about he's going to go and tell everybody that he's here to deliver him. What if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe me? Suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. Actually, it was his walking stick, right? He had a stick in his hand. You know, as kids, we play with sticks. We get older, we carve them and we walk with them. It was what supported him. He was walking with this stick. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. I hate snakes. And did anybody hear? How many people don't like snakes? Okay. How many people have a snake? There's something wrong with you. People that have snakes, I mean, and if you do have one, please, you know, God bless you. They scare me, man. I just look at them and I just, you know, just, you know, their little tongues going, you know, it's like, it's not right. They move weird, you know? I mean, they shake around and move weird. And so everything about them is just like, it's not right. You don't even, I don't like them, okay? I hate snakes. And here it is, this stick, his walking stick, was supporting him all of his of these 40 years, is now turned into a snake. And Moses fled from it. I would flee from it too, wouldn't you? I mean, if a snake was there, I'll tell you, I'd be hightailing it out of there. You know, I mean, I'm gone. And he fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, here's Moses going, okay, it's a snake, not good, poisonous, I don't know what it is, I'm getting out of here. He starts to take off, and God doesn't let him take off. He tells him what? What does it say? Reach! Reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Oh, that sounds like fun. It's probably some venomous snake, you know, and you realize, my God, it could bite me. I could die. I don't like snakes. Reach out and grab it by the tail. Now he has an opportunity to figure out what is he going to do. Are you going to obey God, or are you going to just, I have a fear here. I have a fear, and I'm not going to grab that snake. It could bite me. But Moses, he was fleeting, and he came back. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. He picks it up by the tail. When he picks it up, what happens to it? Turns into the rod. Later on in the scripture, in I think Exodus 4:20, it's going to say it's the rod of God. The rod of God. And I thought it interesting. In order to reach, I'm going to talk to you about reaching beyond yourselves here this morning. In order to reach, Moses had to do three things. Number one, he had to face his fear. To reach out beyond where he was and to do the call of God and to grow spiritually in all of the things that God has got before us yet to do, we've got to reach for them. And he's saying, in order to reach, you've got to face your fear. God told him to reach toward what he was afraid of. I'm afraid of that. And he had to reach toward what he was afraid of. And trust the Lord. Number two, he had to go outside his comfort zone. How many people here have a comfort zone? Everybody here has a comfort zone. I can tell you, because all I have to do is you start pressing some things in you and you'll start sweating. Because they'll push you past your comfort zone. All right, let's all get together. We're going to go to Costco and we're going to evangelize. Everybody's going to start, what? I'm out of my comfort zone. I only know how to buy things at Costco. So here he is. He's pushed out of his comfort zone. God always is going to push you out of your comfort zone. He didn't intend you to live in a comfort zone. He intended you to live by the Spirit, in a spiritual zone, led by the Spirit of God. So he goes outside of his comfort zone, into this Spirit zone, facing his fear, grabs it by the tail, picks it up. It becomes the rod of God. Thirdly, he quit playing it safe. He quit playing it safe. It's interesting. Do you know that God was bringing him back to something that happened 40 years ago? When he was in Egypt, he knew he was to deliver them, because he knew that he was to deliver them even back then. But he killed an Egyptian. He was worried about reputation. He was worried about reprisal. So he leaves and he runs away from his calling. And he's 40 years on the backside of the desert. And now, God is saying, quit playing it safe in the safety of away from where I've called you. And now I'm going to send you back to fulfill the mission that I have placed upon your life. He looked, and the snake becomes a rod. Let me ask you this. The thing that you thought might stop you may be the very thing that gives you the power to continue. The very thing you thought was going to stop you may be the thing that will cause you to continue on and give you the power to continue. He obeyed this crazy God. God gave him a crazy word. Pick up a snake. No. Pick up a poison snake. No. But he obeyed him. And in the craziness, God did the miraculous. In the craziness, God does the miraculous. He picked it up. And it becomes Exodus 4:20. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. He reached for it. He reached for it. And God turned it into a rod. And then he reached with it for the next 40 years of his life. He reached out and took it. And then he reached out with it. And with that rod, miraculous things start to happen. As he reaches with that rod, as he stretches with that rod, all of a sudden, amazing miracles take place. Water is turned to blood. The Lord spoke to Moses and said to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over Egypt. The whole miracle with the frogs, stretch out your hand over the streams. The thing with the lice, stretch out and strike the dust of the land and it will become lice. Number 7, the hail, stretch out your rod toward heaven. And all of a sudden hail and thunder came. And then he tells him to stretch out the rod over the land of Egypt and locusts come. Stretch out your hand up towards heaven and darkness came over Egypt. All of a sudden, all of these plagues are happening. All of the power of God is happening because he's stretching with what God gave him, the rod of God, and all of a sudden in the craziness, all of these miracles are taking place. Amen. And he's fulfilling the call that he's supposed to have in his life. God moved on him. God moved on him. And in Exodus 14, 16, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the seas and it will divide and it moved from left to right. And the children walked over on dry ground. He stretched out the rod of God. What crazy thing has God asked you to do? What crazy thing do we resist? No, it doesn't make sense. No, I don't want to do it. No, I'm too old. Come on now. How old are you, sir? How old are you?
90.
90 years old. Come on now, said by the 90-year-old man over here. I love that. Bob, is it? Bob? Bob, awesome. I'm sorry for your loss. Bless you, man. Bob saying, give me that mountain. You know, I mean, he's just, you're not done, are you? Oh, man, he's still stretching.
That's right.
He's still stretching. He's still stretching. It doesn't matter how old we are. I think sometimes we make excuses. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm this. God doesn't care how old you are. God doesn't care how tired you are. God's a crazy God who asks us to do crazy things. And if you'll just reach out, you'll find out all of a sudden that what you thought you couldn't do becomes the power that enables you to do everything God wants you to do. Will we do it? Will we do it? Will we do it? I love it. I need a volunteer. Sir, what's your name?
Todd.
Todd, can I borrow you for a second? Would you? Okay, come on up here. Come on over here. This won't hurt, I don't think. You're a middle school teacher? Oh, okay. So anything I say can be...
Scare me.
Oh, I'm not going to scare him, right. Can be used against me in a court of law right here. So you're a middle school teacher? Where do you teach?
In swim.
Oh, cool. Awesome, awesome. Now, did you play any sports growing up?
Yeah.
What sports?
Most of them.
All of them? Like, you played baseball and...
Baseball, basketball, a little bit of football.
A little bit of football? All right. You look like... What did you play in football?
I only played till junior high.
Junior high? Okay, you played on the line. Yeah, I played in college. I played at the University of Idaho. That's why I came to school there. I played as a linebacker and a defensive end. All right, here we go. All right, here we go.
My uncle was one of the line judges.
Oh, really?
When I was growing up as a kid.
Oh, my goodness. So how old are you?
50.
Yeah. 50. I'm 61.
Yeah, so I probably watched
it. All right, there we are, man.
In the kingdom, right?
Yes! I knew there was something here. I knew there was something here. You know, we think about... That's a little, this is going to my grandkids when I get home. I have 12 of them, so... when you think about reaching out with a football, when you're passing a ball to somebody, and you're thinking about reaching out... Now, if say your first name again.
Todd.
And your last...
Buki.
Todd Buki, okay. If Todd were an infant, and we play ball with infants, right? What do? When we play catch with them, we go like this, put your hands together, Todd. Okay, and then you hold them right there, and we go like this, wee, wee, wee. And that's fun, man. Isn't that exciting? And the baby's, and Todd's excited, you know? Then we have to change his pants, and then it's just. He's a teacher. We can take it. All right. I'm sure this is minor compared to I was in school. I remember Mrs. Mason and what I did to her. So in fourth grade. Anyway, so here we are, and for me, I have to place it right in his lap, and for him to play catch here. Now, hopefully, when Todd grows up, gets a little bit older, okay, now we start playing a little bit more. Okay, good. Throw it back. All right. A little higher. Okay. Reach it back. Okay, reach for it. Reach for it. Okay, get a little more here. All right, a little higher. Whoa. All right, that's okay. We don't catch everything we reach for. All right, let me get it. All right. So one more here. We're going to reach for it. All right, okay. So now all of a sudden, he went from a toddler, a little baby, right? And we have to place it right in his lap. So all of a sudden he starts growing up, and all of a sudden he can start catching it and reaching a little more. Or if he was playing in a professional sport like football, and he was playing for the Seattle Seahawks and we were throwing him a ball, all of a sudden you see spectacular catches by those men, don't you? That are reaching out beyond what you possibly think could happen. So we have a baby. We have a young man who can reach out. And we have these men who are just proficient in reaching out and doing spectacular catches. And we all go, oh my gosh, did you see that? I'm asking you, when it comes to reaching out into the things of the Spirit of God, which one are you?
Yeah, very good.
When God asks you to reach for something in the Spirit, does He have to place it right in your lap for you to accept it? For you to do anything with it? Does He have to place it right in your lap? Or are you reaching for it? Are you reaching for it? Are you... Oh, Todd is now playing with God. I like you, Todd. I like you, man. You do exactly what I do, man. We've been in trouble together. Give Todd a big hand, okay? All right. Thank you, man. Thank you, buddy. Bless you. Oh, by the way, I was during worship here, I felt like the Lord gave me a word for you, and that was, as you've reached out, as you're reaching out, God has you reaching out for something. He's going to put something in front of you that is going to look like it's impossible, and He's going to ask you to reach for it. But I want to tell you this. God is going to amaze your eyes, and He's going to give you some things you've already been reaching out for and yet to reach out. He's going to touch you, and He's going to place them in there. You're going to grab hold of them, and they're going to radically change your life. He wants you to know that His hand's upon you, that He loves you, and that He cares for you very much. You're one of His favorites. God bless you, my friend. So which one are you? Which one are you? Does God have to make it easier for you and put it in your lap? Or do you reach for the things of God? Have you quit reaching spiritually and settled for convenient and comfortable Christianity? Have we quit reaching and settled for convenient and comfortable Christianity? Or have you entered the craziness of what God wants to do in your life? He wants to do something crazy. And I was thinking about that reaching. I asked my secretary, I said, hey, can you come up with some, give me some football players that reach, some Seattle football players. And look, here's this first one. Watch this. Watch this catch in instant replay. Look at the enemy telling you no, it's a foul against you. Watch this catch. Let me tell you one thing about it. Did you see how much the enemy was covering him? There's a point when you're reaching out. Give me the slide. Satan will always try to keep you from reaching. And he will foul you. He doesn't play fair. He never plays fair. He'll hold your hands down. He'll do whatever he can. He's always trying to keep you from reaching out and accomplishing what God has placed in front of you, or the new adventure that God has you to do, or the new craziness He's asking you to enter. And we quit reaching and we just sit here. Well, if God puts it in my lap, I'll be okay and I'll do it. No, these guys are reaching. And I'll tell you what, that's a highlight reel. We get to heaven, we're going to see your highlight reels. We're all going to be showing each other highlights. Look at that, man. Nobody thought it could happen. I believe God. I reached out and look at that. And everybody's going to go, I'm going to be doing the wave drill. It's going to be awesome, man. Here's another one. I love beating him. Look at that. I love it. My second point, don't ever give up. You might be surprised what you get if you keep reaching for it. Don't ever stop. Oh, it's not going to happen to Candy. Oh, no, it's going to happen. All of a sudden, look what God did. Look what God did over the years. The third one here. Look at that. That's called a reach. That's called reaching for it. Amen. That's good. Always reach beyond what you think you can do. Now understand this. He's going across the middle. What happens when you go across the middle? The enemy is going to try to smack you when you go across the middle. And so what happens to a lot of players? What do you hear sometimes in commentators? And he goes across the middle and he starts to reach and he pulls his hand back down. He heard footsteps. He heard footsteps. He's out there and he's starting to reach in God. Then all of a sudden he realizes, what am I doing? I'm hearing footsteps. This could hurt. But I'll tell you what, Doug Baldwin didn't care about it. He didn't hear any footsteps. He just simply reached out with everything that he had and he pulled it in and we all got to cheer him on. I'm telling you, people in this room, God has things he wants you to reach for. Wants you to reach out beyond where you are. Wants you not to worry about, not to hesitate when you're going over the middle and all of a sudden you're thinking, you're apprehensive because I don't know if it could happen or not. I could get hurt in this thing. This doesn't seem like a good idea. Maybe this isn't God. And all of a sudden we flinch and we start pulling back in and we start protecting ourselves. Let me tell you this. God will protect you. God loves you. He cares about you. He's going to honor you. He's saying, stretch out. When I tell you to stretch out, pick up the snake if it feels like it's a snake. If it's crazy, I don't care. Just obey me. Stretch, reach. And watch what you will pull in and watch how your life will continue to change. Because he's not done with us. God is not done with us yet. I want to give quickly. I'm just going to touch them really, really fast. So don't worry. How much time do I have? I have 20 minutes. Okay, 20 minutes. Pastor Kev said he speaks for 2.5 hours. I said, I can't speak that long. Five things to reach for. And you can just, we'll just go through them quickly. And it's with the acronym REACH, R-E-A-C-H, and the R stands for relationships. Are you reaching for relationships? Are you growing your relationships deeper each and every day? And I see the depths of what's happening. You guys are chatting with each other and bringing prayer requests and all that. Are we growing deeper in our relationships with one another? I think there's two areas, growing deeper in the relationships we have. But here's the other one. Are you developing new relationships? New relationships. Because another generation dies out if we're not reaching out to the next generation. If we're not helping. If we're not going beyond ourselves. My question is, when's the last time you had a new person to your house for dinner? When's the last time you reached out and invited somebody over that you didn't know and it was going to cause you to reach a little bit? You're going to be a little bit uncomfortable. You didn't know how it was going to go. Instead of, oh, my buddies are coming over and everybody's great and it's all neat and cool and all that stuff. And that's great. And we need to grow deeper there. But also we need to grow in new relationships. New relationships that the Lord is giving us. Are you reaching out in relationships or are you just staying comfortable, convenient? This is my Christianity. Number two, evangelism. Oh no, the E word. Evangelism. You know, Jesus' last words before he left this planet was the Great Commission. You know, people, before we leave this planet, usually our last words, we're talking to our family, the last words that we say are the words probably most important, most heartfelt, most, this is it. This is what I want you to go away with. And he tells us to reach the lost, to do the Great Commission, to do evangelism, to reach out to somebody else who doesn't know Jesus or help somebody who knows Jesus grow in Jesus more. Are we reaching out? Are we doing the Great Commission? But we have a lot of excuses, right? This Great Commission that was given, talking to us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, he said that to his disciples, right? He said that to the 12 or who's ever gathered around right there. That's who he's talking to. So if we look at the text and look at who he's talking to, he was just talking to those people. So you see, Jesus was not speaking to me, only to the 12 disciples. Well, if we use that logic, then there's nothing in the Bible you need to do. Because it was all written to somebody else, right? Love your neighbor. I don't have to doubt it. He was talking to somebody else. You know, if we use that analogy, we would never do anything in the Bible because it was all written to somebody else. But it was written for our benefit that we might know it and then we might practice it and become the Christians God's called us to be. Another excuse is, it's not my gift to evangelize. I love that one. It's not my gift to evangelize. I know, maybe it's not your gift, but it's your responsibility. If you gifted in your responsibility, you know, I'm not the hospitality guy. I'm the clown when we have it happening, but I don't put it all together. I'm not making stuff and doing that. That's what Pastor Sherry does. Man, we had some salmon to die for last night, night before last, you guys. She's a credible cook.
Yes, she is.
It was awesome, man. It's awesome. And we have steaks tonight. Oh, I'm coming next week, so I'll be preaching next week as well. Is that... Part two. This is going to be, this is a 10-part series. I just want you to know. I'm saying, but I'm not gifted in hospitality. That doesn't mean God's saying, yeah, don't be hospitable. You're not gifted there. No, but I'm responsible to be hospitable. I'm responsible to reach out. I'm responsible to do that. So you may say and go, well, that's not my gift. That's their job or their job or they're really gifted in evangelism. It doesn't matter. You're responsible to do that. First Peter talks about that we have a defense for the hope that lies within you. Why are you so excited about God? Number three, I can't save them. I just can't save them. That's exactly true. You can't. Only Jesus can. I'm not asking you to save them. I'm just asking you to tell them. You are not called to be a savior, but you are called to be a witness, right? Now, how hard is it to be a witness? Has anybody ever gotten to an accident before? Have you ever gotten to an accident, car accident? How many? You. It's all right. Go ahead, brother. Just unbury your soul. No. So when you see an accident or in an accident, do you have to go to school to prepare on how to tell the police officer what happened? You don't have to go to college. You don't have to prepare anything. You don't have to sit there and go, I got to sit down and figure this all out. He's just saying, hey, what happened, right? And you tell him, well, I was going this way and that guy was going that way and he hit me. And so you tell the story. You see, being a witness is so easy. All you have to do to be a witness is to tell what happened to you.
That's it.
What happened to you? Well, man, I was walking this way. My life was going down the tube, and all of a sudden, somebody told me about Jesus. I asked him into my life, and all of a sudden, you know what? He started loving me like nobody's ever loved me, and I got excited about life, and my life started to change, and I'm starting to do things. It's not meaning that everything's easy. I still have difficulties. I still have problems. But you know what? God's given me a hope and a reason and an excitement to raise my kids and to speak into their lives and to be a good friend and to reach out, and all of a sudden, my life is changing because of what Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. You reach out and you share with somebody. Share with them. Share with them. Be a witness. Be a witness. Just simply tell them what you saw. Oh, there's a clock. I was asking somebody, is there a clock in here? I couldn't find a clock, but there's a clock there. Just so you know. What time did I start?
Don't worry about it.
Well, no, I gotta be true. Okay. Love water. Does everybody like water? Water's good, right? You know who the water is?
Jesus,
right? You know, he's the water of life, right? Have you heard the expression, you can lead a
horse?
Oh, very good. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can tell him, hey, there's water here. That's all God's asking you to do. Hey, we got water. And it's up to God to make them drink. But here's where you come in. What does the Bible say that you are? You're the light of the world. It also, in that same passage before that, says you're the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. Who can I use now? Who can I use now? You, sir. Hi, come on up here. This is your chair now. Don't worry. If a teacher can do it, you can.
I'm a teacher too.
Oh, you're a teacher too?
Grade school.
And what grade were you?
Seventh grade.
Seventh grade. And your grade school?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade. My gosh. I think God's saying something to me because
you have a knack for picking.
I guess. No, I think God's saying something because I caused lots of problems for all those teachers when I was younger. And I got saved later. But anyway, I'm sorry, Mrs. Mason. So If it says that we're the salt, right? So what do we do with salt? What does salt do? It makes it taste good. It adds flavor. It's a preservative. It keeps things from spoiling, right? Do you know that salt was very, very, very high cost in the ancient times? You know why? Because it preserved their food, right? It preserved their food. Do you know that they actually paid the Roman soldiers in salt, in pounds of salt? It was called a salarium. It's where we get our word today called salary. A salary. They paid them in this because it was so much of a highly valued commodity. And so what happens is, as I am talking, and what was your first name again?
Bob.
All right, I got it. Bob, Todd. Okay. So what I'm supposed to do is when I'm talking to Bob and I go, Bob, let's say Bob doesn't know the Lord. Bob, how are you doing today?
Good.
And then as he's talking and I'm talking to him, what I do is I just let a little of this salt out of here as he's talking. Get your tongue out there a little bit. Talk with your tongue. Yeah. Okay. What I do is I just put a little salt on him. I put a little salt on him. Every time I'm around him, I put a little salt on him. Just put a little salt on him. Put a little salt on him. And I go, hey, Bob, you know about Jesus? And he goes, yeah, no, I'm not interested in him. Nah, no problem. No problem. You just tell him about Jesus. And then I'm just, every time I'm there, I'm just something about Jesus. Don't get in the eyes. You're just putting a little salt. And he said, you know what's going to happen? I don't have to make him drink. He will want to drink.
Clever.
Because he's gotten thirsty. And he got thirsty by your lifestyle, by your actions, by your communications, by what you said. Now here's the problem. Some of us out there are a little overzealous. They come up to Bob. Bob, open up. Reach back, Bob. And all of a sudden, dump the whole box in his mouth.
Yeah.
And do you know what that does for the cause of Christianity?
Yeah.
It makes them sick. You know, I'm sick of Christians who, I hear it all the time. I am sick of Christians who, but you know what? If we're the kind of Christians that just put a little bit there, care about them. Hey, can I mow your lawn? Where's your house at? I'll just pop on by. You know, I have a place, we have a little trailer down in Orofino, Idaho, and I just mow all the people's neighbors around there. I just mow all their lawn. Just because I got to ride a lawnmower and I want to, it's fun. Ride all over the place, just mow your lawn. Hey, you don't have to do that. I know. And they come out, they go, hey, thank you so much for mowing my lawn, man. That was just so great. Thank you. Hey, no problem. As a matter of fact, the guy there that owns the place, I mowed his, he came out and he had a big tumor on the side of his neck. And he was going through cancer. And I said, you know, and we were coming out and I saw him and he was going down. And everybody in the trailer park was saying he's tubing. And I said, Bud, I go, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And he goes, please. And his eyes start to tear up and I pray for him, lay my hands on him and I prayed for this tumor that was sticking out. I said, God, you're the great physician. I said, show Bud how much you love him. Please heal him. Take this tumor away and do something miraculous that it can only be described that you did it. Use the doctors, but also, Lord, do something miraculous. And then it left. And then about 5 weeks later, come by, and I'm riding, doing my lawn, right? He comes out. He comes out to me, looks at me, and he goes, what's the words he said? Does he know how powerful he is? So you're going, what? Does he know how powerful he is? And he comes out and he goes, man, you're like the magic man. I didn't realize how powerful you are. And I go, what do you mean? And the tumor had shrunk in size. The tumor had shrunk. His appetite came back. His eye that was glossed over was starting to heal. And you know, I looked at him and I said, Bud, God wants you to know how much he loves you. And as soon as I touched him, man, he wept. He wept. And I said, Bud, God loves you. And you know what? He's going to give you some more years of life. And then he's going to take you home. And he wants you to enjoy this life and the one that's going to come. Do you know Jesus? And he goes, you know, Phil, yes, I know Jesus. And I go, well, I'll tell you what. He wants you to know he loves you. And you keep serving him. You keep following him. Amen? All right. So you may sit down, Bob. Go back to your seat there. Don't give me an assignment, though. Okay. Teachers, they like to give assignments. The other thing I think about when I think about sharing with somebody, I think about another volunteer that's so willing. What's your name? Mike. And you know what's so cool about you guys? I was back there worshiping, and you guys had your hands together worshiping, right? I just thought that really touched me. That really made me feel like, wow, what a close couple. What a neat couple that God has put you together and that you love each other so much and that you love to share and worship together. I just think that's really cool. God has his hand on you guys. You know that? He loves you guys very, very much. Amazing. All right. Can you come on up here for a second? Don't tell me teacher.
No.
Oh, what? What?
Timber industry.
All right. You provide the paper for all the teachers. Okay, I knew it somehow. Now, let me tell you how you share Christ with people. It's very simple. It's as easy as eating one of these. What you do is, instead of trying to throw all the stuff down there and salting them, and you know, I said throwing the whole salt down there and throwing their eyes and getting mad. I get some people going, you know, they get so mad at people and because they'll go, hey, Jesus loves you. And they go, no, I don't believe in God. Well, then fry in your own grease. I mean, that's not the response you're supposed to give them, okay? God's going to say, well done, because you've been thrown or fried or whatever. Anyway. What you do is you make Christianity so exciting. If this is Christianity, you just, when you're partaking, doing anything with the Lord, you're just, what was your first name again? I'm sorry.
Mike.
How are you doing today, Mike?
Good.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh, this is so good.
It is good. Huh?
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that caramel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh! Oh, my gosh, this is good.
Oh, you won't believe what this is. Man, it's good. Oh, man, that's good. I'm just telling you, it's good. I don't know if you ever had a Snickers bar, but this thing is really good. I'm going to tell you. It's really great. It's good stuff, man.
And I have a bucket full of
them. I have a bucket full of them. Give him a hand, okay? Give him a hand. I can't talk. I need Jesus. Sorry. Wow, that was a lot. That is good. You make your Christianity and your walk as a Christian so enticing that it's just inviting to everybody else. It's just inviting. And pretty soon, when I offer him one of those, he's going, man, I've seen you enjoy it so much. I've seen what it's done for you. I've seen how you get so excited about it. I see how you're living your life. I see what you're doing. I see all that stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, I'd like to have one of those too. Sorry. Sorry about that. I get a little excited. And... excuse me. All right. You see what I'm saying, though? All right, you can go back and sit back down. Thank you. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. All right, we got to move. There's some great stuff here, but you know, it takes 5.4 times for a person to hear the gospel presentation before they'll ever entertain asking Christ into their life. Just because you went and shared something with them and said a few things and whatever and lived it out and all of a sudden, no, I'm not interested. Don't go, oh, crud, I'm no good. No, you're just one of the many along the step that's going to bring this guy to Christ. Some plant, some water, some nurse. I mean, we're all a different spot here. So don't get mad whatever happens there, okay? All right, that's, okay, I got to move on. Number three. A stands for activate the Holy Spirit. R-E-A. By the way, are you reaching out to people? Are you just staying comfortable and is it convenient in your Christianity? Number three, activate the Holy Spirit. You know, he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to comfort us. And he gave us the Holy Spirit that fell on Pentecost to give us power and passion for Jesus Christ. Why do you think Pastor Sherry is so passionate for Jesus, man? Because the Holy Spirit just permeates out of her. She sweats Holy Spirit. She's just so excited about God and what he's done that it just comes out of her. The Holy Spirit is in there. The Holy Spirit is moving. And we need the Holy Spirit to do what he's called us to do. We need the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, 1 and 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, say that with me, had fully come, one more time, had fully come, they're all in one room and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, I think God's asking us to have a full experience about what it means to have the Holy Spirit in our life. Do you want to reach for more of the Holy Spirit, or are you comfortable in your convenient Christianity? Are you reaching for more? Number four, C stands for church involvement. We're not supposed to take the assembly together of ourselves. I love this scripture. It's in Exodus 17, and it's about Moses, and he's up on the mountain with Aaron and Hur, and Joshua's down in the battle, and he's fighting the Amalekites. Or remember when we had that, Pastor Gabb, when it was the Amalekites, and we had to shift it to Amalekites, and I don't know why we did that. I know. I did know why we did that. He found out there was another pronunciation. I said, tomato, tomato, whatever. The Amalekites, supposed to speak of the flesh. But what's happening is, here's this battle going on. Moses, the leader of his congregation, has a battle that's going on out there. And he's out there helping his guys fight. And as long as his hands are up, they win. And when his hands go down, what happens? They lose. And so what happens? Aaron gets on one side, Hur gets on the other side, and they lift up his arms.
That's it.
Okay? Let me tell you. Do you know where I spent 22 years of my life? I spent 22 years of my life, excuse me, doing this. I spent 22 years of my life doing this. And I said, whatever's in your heart to do, do it. Because we're going to make it happen.
Amen.
We're going to make it happen. Yeah, we just lifted up their arms for 22 years. And you know what? Those 22 years were some of the best 22 years. It was the most, I felt such pleasure and privilege to be able to hold up the hands of the people who cared so much about me. Are we holding up the hands of our pastors? Are we saying to them, do whatever in your heart to do? We're behind you. We're going to make it happen. What do you want, Pastor Kev? What do you want, Pastor Sherry? We're going to make it happen. Like Jonathan's armor bearer, when he goes up there and he goes, do whatever in your heart to do. I'm with you in this. Excellent. Are we lifting up the hands of our pastors? Because this congregation is going to continue to change. Because your pastors are going to continue to lead you in change. Because they're going to keep reaching out for what God has for this community and what God has for your lives individually. And we'll never get there with comfortable, convenient
Amen.
Christianity that's not costly.
Good.
Number six, holiness. Bringing us to a conclusion. Holiness. Holiness. Growing as a Christian, are we growing? In Leviticus 11:44, it says, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. I thought, a lot of people see this, oh, God's putting this on me. I got to be holy. And I was, late last night, I just, all of a sudden the Lord gave me, and he just flipped it, and he said, do you know what a privilege it is? To walk like God, to walk in His character. He's asking you to be like Him. He's asking you, can you be holy like I'm holy? It's an invitation. We don't have to go, oh God, you know, I mean, I just wish I could be better. He's inviting us up into the heavenlies. Walk like And then, you know, in the process, Old Testament, man, it was a difficult. New Testament, we have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. He's enabling us so that we can
yes, that's right.
walk
that's right.
a holy walk. I can walk different. The pornography that's been plaguing me for years and years and years and years all of a sudden can fall away. All of a sudden, the evil and the smoking and the drugs and the drink, it can fall away. And all of a sudden, I can change. I can be free. I can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. God can change me.
That's right.
As we reach out for something more, God does something crazy.
Hallelujah.
And He wants to do something crazy in your lives. Will we reach? Will we desire? God, I want to walk like You. Pastor Sherry said entwine. We heard that forever at our church. That. Entwine with the divine and 21:9. I'm just saying that we have a God who doesn't say, get perfect, then come to me. We have a God who's helping us, encouraging us. We fall and He gets us back up. He says, don't worry, get back up.
Right.
Oh my God, I've sinned. I'm horribly good. Oh no, you look great. Come on, get back up. Let's keep going. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't say you're a rotten individual. You'll never make it. I can't stand you. Get out of my presence. Even when we right. feel like it, because I have felt like that many times when I have sinned before the Lord. One time I literally got in a gutter outside my house. I got in a gutter because I felt like that. And then as I was sitting in the gutter, it was late at night, and I go, God, I feel like I was so disappointed in You. And all of a sudden, a shooting star went across the sky. And God said, get up. Get up. He's got stuff for us. He doesn't care where you've been. He's such redeeming, forgiving. Get up. Come on. Keep going. Come on. Reach for it. I've got so much more. It's so awesome. It's so great. Keep going.
Excellent.
Enjoy the craziness. Enjoy the craziness. Are you reaching out and embracing holiness? Are you just in comfortable, convenient, costless Christianity? Do you want to be different tomorrow than you are today? Paul, as we close, said in Philippians 3, 13 through 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I'm not finished. I'm not done. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," and say it with me, "reaching forward to those things which are ahead." The adventure, the excitement, the craziness, the holiness is all a reach away. But you will touch it if you reach for it. But you'll touch nothing if you don't. A good receiver going over the middle, not apprehensive. He's fully stretched out. Are you fully stretched out on your faith for God? Excellent. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this amazing congregation of amazing people. I pray for each and every one. I pray for me, Lord. This message isn't just for them. It's for me to not stop in the craziness, to reach down and grab the serpent that you think, my God, this is going to kill me. This is going to hurt me. This is going to cost me my ministry. It's going to cost me my relationship. It's going to cost. It's just going to. God says, grab it and I'll change it. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage, the motivation, the power, the passion to just go after you with everything, to cross the middle, excited to reach out as far as we can to catch the ball that you throw to us. Because we know, Lord, you've got great things that lie ahead. So all of us, Lord, are committed to stretching, 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 stretching out. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you guys very much. You guys are amazing. God bless you.